Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to apologize to the honorable members for the slides that didn't look the same. I'm sorry for the confusion. It's our commitment to continuous improvement. But we've taken note of that. In terms of capacity problems around capital expenditure,
Delmas. When the incident occurred at Delmas, Landwater's role was to immediately chuck in a whole lot of water so as to ensure that particularly the schools and the pensioners had good access to clean water. In addition to that, we have also put together several plans that we have presented to the municipality, plans which we believe if put into place would prevent a further problem like this experience. But unfortunately, all the plans have been put together and have been given through to the municipality. What we now await is some kind of response from them, agreeing for us to assist them and help them put in place some of the plans that we have. So effectively, the ball is in the court of the municipality to help prevent a further occurrence of the outbreak that they had experienced.
One add on that, taking into account the noting that one of the drop managers did when we were talking about the assistance to either municipalities or other boards. The truth of the matter is we have never said no. We are always able to get there who can. We talked about this also during the draft strategic planning, that the assistance to some of the draft-related entities, rather than reacting to emergencies without a planned way, it would assist if draft would have a plan of strategically assisting other entities that would need some help. And having said that, though, taking into account that we are quite willing to help, we need to make sure that Randwater's core activity is not diluted by Randwater being all over the place. But up to now, we have never said no, and we believe if there is a proper plan for us to assist, we will. But we will balance that to what Randwater's core activities are so that the company can survive.
Now moving on to the Kangala water issue. The issue there is that we have a regional infrastructure that goes through and services about five different municipal areas. Now, when the area was converted as being within the supply area of Randwater, there was still a water board in Kangala, which is called Kangala Water Board. So it wasn't clear who has had the responsibility for the administration of the system, and there was some appointment of members from Rand Water's board into Kangala's Water Board. But it was never cemented in a functional way that this is how the boards are going to work together, or whether a Kangala water board would be a subset of Rand water or whatever the case might be. But also, because of the multiple municipalities along the same supply system, there's an issue around who owns the infrastructure and how that translates into water service delivery. So all those issues have still not been resolved. The Department of Water Affairs has tried this year to try and resolve the issue. They've approached the municipalities in the area to try and make sure that they can appoint either Rand Water alone or Rand Water and Mahalis Water to run the system in a more sensible way. However, we have not been appointed formally, or we haven't got a formal appointment letter saying now everything has been sorted out, we can now come in and do the work. But we are ready to extend our services to Ekaman, and they do have supply problems at the moment. I'll move on to other issues whilst the honorable member is not back around the capital expenditure. Okay. In terms of capacity to carry out the capital expenditure work, we do have some problems in the sense that we have not always been able to spend the amount of money that has been laid out for the project or complete all the projects that are laid out for the year. There are a couple of reasons for that. One is delays from an approval point of view of environmental impact assessments. Some of them have taken 2 years, which delays the projects that we want to do. The other one is from a CIGB point of view, because where we are doing work of a construction nature, we have to comply with the CIGB Act. And we find that most of the contractors in the sector have not been rated by CIGB, and when they apply for a rating, it takes 6 to 8 months for them to get a reply. So that does tend to delay things a bit. But internally, we also have had a loss of skills due to other projects that are coming up in the construction industry, and we are battling to keep the skills that we have. However, we are devising plans of retaining those skills as well as attracting other skills from neighboring countries, etc. We also have looked at outsourcing some of the work to civil engineering contractors or consultants, so that we can reduce the load on internal resources where possible. But these are projects that are fairly straightforward, which are standard, which we then farm out to external parties.
I might just add a little bit of something around that in terms of our procurement policy around some of the big work that you saw there. We're very sound around those, but we just would want to make you guys aware, sorry, to make the members aware that most of the rainwater type of work is run by monopolies. We are battling like crazy to try and break away from that. If you're looking for people who could provide this type of pipe, it's only one company. And therefore we get a lot of kind of hackling backwards and forwards, trying to influence that they must try and they promise to try, and it just doesn't work. From chemicals to the types of pipes and everything else. And therefore we had asked Dwarf as well to assist us in terms of lifting some of these issues to a strategic level so that we know exactly what to deal with. Otherwise, most of Rainwater's work is just given to one or two companies ever since the beginning of time, and it doesn't seem to be actually fitting very well with the Rainwater policy.
I'm approaching the end now. In terms of seconding people or experts from rainwater to municipalities to help with capacity building, there are areas where we're doing that. For instance, in demand management, we have people who have been at Mukhare City helping them with focusing on non-revenue water, finding where the losses are occurring, creating systems to make sure that any losses are detected timely, etc. So we do that, but there's limited capacity to service all 16 municipalities that we serve. In the future, we hope to use those experts in training other people to, so that capacity can be multiplied in a shorter space of time. There's also, we are doing a bit in terms of sanitation. We've been running the run contain plant on their behalf and improving it to a standard where it has discharges that are of an acceptable standard into the environment. The last one was around whether our water supply growth is growing, or the growth that we're seeing is likely to continue into the future, and what are we doing about making sure that there's sufficient capacity, etc. From a demand management point of view, we're trying to help municipalities reduce the amount of water wastage in their systems so that we can limit the wastage of water and therefore reduce the demand on our system. However, we do assess the growth and check it against our long-term plans to make sure that we can put in or we can develop infrastructure in time to meet any demand that or excessive demand growth. But at the moment, we don't foresee any acceleration of demand. So we believe that we're fine.
One more question that I didn't touch on, the question of disability.
What
was the CCTA?
Can we get to Bloom so quickly? Otherwise, we're going to take off half an hour with all of them.
The short answer on the question of debtors, we experienced an increase in one debtor, which is the Kupanong local municipality. The outstanding debt increased and therefore the doubtful debt was increased as well.
Is that it, Bloom? Okay, no, they just two others. I'll comment on the debt problems with municipalities. Our sense is that the resources allowed for in the Water Services Act in terms of restrictions and disconnections must be a matter of last resort because of the public impact it has on health, and therefore our approach has been to work with National Treasury, both provincial and national, in an attempt to ensure that municipalities pay their debts. And the Honourable Member will correct it. Our control, University of Technology, Strategy, Central University of Technology. Apologies.
Madam Chair, in response to the question about the corrective actions that we've taken after the forensic audit, I just mentioned a few of them. We underwent extensive disciplinary hearings for about a period of about 1.5 months. And we recovered monies from unsubstantiated credit card expenditure. And we are still in the process of regularizing the pension and related issues. That is an ongoing process. But we have a clearer picture in terms of the deficit that our pension fund is facing at this time. We continue to rebuild industrial relations and build morale there were a few issues that are related to labor in the forensic audit, which we continuously are striving to address. Thank you.
I think that's it with all three boards and the questions that we had to them, just so that we can catch up some time. Thank you very much, everyone. We are supposed to be dealing with Isangala, Mtlatsuzi, Albany, Makhali, and then that just will take care of all the boards, and then Salga, we've asked us to respond to something, and then of course, the WAP. Can I just ask Isangala just to hold on? There has been a particular understanding that has been given to the committee on the actual reporting because of the situation the board finds itself in. Barbara has gone out to clarify this, and we would rather ask Mtlatsuzi, whilst the confusion has been sorted out, Mtlatsuzi to do their presentation.
Of the portfolio committee, all the members and colleagues from other water boards, I greet you all this afternoon. Thank you for affording us the opportunity to come and present the annual report to you today. I would like to start by saying, as in Mtlatsuzi Water, we have experienced major challenges. There are good things, a number of good things that have been achieved. Amongst other things, I would like to say that the board, which was officially appointed in 2006, had its first sitting in February. A number of highlights that will be covered by our acting CEO attest to what I've said when I highlight the fact that we have achieved quite a lot. Amongst other things, the board has established the strategy to look more into the development of the regional bulk water supply so that we can focus in the northern region or the northern part of KwaZulu-Natal, which includes Mkhanyakude, Uthungulu, Zululand regions, as well as towards the Mozambican border. Although we are viable and financially sustainable, we would like to increase our reserves, which are currently sitting at 33% of gross assets. We also want to, the board has also highlighted its focus into a holistic transformation process, whereby we want to focus more on the BEE. We haven't really started much, well, we have started, but we haven't achieved our targets yet. On the CSI part, we also are looking into resourcing that in a more broader way. We also have experienced one of the challenges whereby we have our CEO, Mr. Tolle, who has taken leave of absence at the moment, and the board has commissioned an investigation which has been presented to us last week, and the board meeting is set to sit next week, whereby a quick decision will be taken so that we are able not to compromise the services that are offered to our customers. I am today accompanied by the deputy chairperson, Mr. Tim Tembo, next to me, as well as our acting CEO, Vic Botes, and Elzette Fresen from the finance department. Over to you, Vic. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On behalf of Amisha Trisi Water, thank you for the opportunity to present our annual report for you. What we see as Amisha Trisi Water is that we must use water as a catalyst for development. As most of the members know, Amisha Trisi Water has also celebrated last year its 25th year in existence. And I've left copies of our annual report as well on the desk there in front. The Intratusi area stretches over 37,000 square kilometers, and in our area it's mostly the northeast Zululand area. In that we have got 4.5 water service authorities, the Umkhonyakudi district municipality, the Zululand district municipality, Utunguru district municipality, and the Intratusi local municipality. And then we have got a section of the north of the Ilembe district municipality. What we see as in Flatute as a strategic direction, we want to assist and support the water service authorities to meet their mandates by establishing strategic networks and partnerships. We believe that the advocacy of an innovation building at provincial level can assist us in achieving a lot of these demands which we have for ourselves and which the sector has. The Department of Water Affairs can lead the process by strengthening a tripartite relationship between the Department of Water Affairs regional offices, the water utilities, and the municipalities. What we also see that internal alignment can be achieved by aligning the water utilities and see them as an extension to the Department of Water Affairs to deal with critical challenges. And those challenges are like regulation of water quality, ensure that everybody's got water of a good quality to consume. We can talk about service delivery and the municipal infrastructure grants. We talk about catchment management agencies. All the water boards have got very competent laboratories. And the same with us, that we can assist in the analysis, ensuring the catchment management quality. We can do some knowledge sharing, and there's already twinning arrangements happening with the NEPAD and the water utilities, and these should be strengthened. We also suggest that the regions of the Department of Water Affairs should be more empowered to strengthen the regional offices to deal with the water utilities challenges that we have. We think that intergovernmental relationships and relations can be strengthened, and Department of Water Affairs can facilitate these relationships at the provincial level. That means meeting the targets. WAF can facilitate bringing on board all key stakeholders, develop provincial plans for meeting the targets, and access existing skills in the province. As we all know, that there is targets that we want to achieve by 2010 and 2014. Our business philosophy at Umsha Tuzi Water has changed. We shift the paradigm from cherry-picking services, where we used to be a bulk service provider in the past alone, and now what we say that the Water Service Authority will determine the service that they need from Umsha Tuzi Water. We're moving from providing a commodity as water, and we also do this waste disposal in large volumes, to provide a complete solution, which means that we will supply the water from the source to the tap. If there is maintenance required in the distribution systems and collection of finances, can be achieved by us. What we see as Intratusi business objectives at the moment in time, we respect the positions of the water service authorities as the responsibility for water service delivery in the area of jurisdiction. In our area, there is 4.5 water service authorities. We recognize that the water service authorities cannot achieve all these things on their own, and therefore in Maputo would like to step into this gap to support and cooperate with the water service authorities. The Maputo water activities have largely been concentrated into two water service authority areas, namely Maputo local municipality and Umkhonyakudi district municipality. Maputo has signed key strategic network and partnership agreements and project implementation agreements with Umkhonyakudi district municipality, the Maputo local municipality, the University of Zululand, Utukela Water, and also Mgaini Water, our partners. The operational achievements that Umhlatuti had over the past 25 years is that we never received any subsidies or assets from the government. Our laboratory is internationally accredited ISO 17025. We are doing investigations into the long-term solution for the disposal of gypsum offshore into the sea. And we have achieved our environmental management ISO 14001 certification last year, and in this last 3 weeks, we had another visit to confirm that we still qualify for certification. Our other operational achievements were we imported a new innovative project development, institutional and project financing module, where we bring various stakeholders together to finance a project and work out the tariffs for that project and how it can be implemented. Umhlatuti Water played a leading role to promote KwaZulu-Natal large regional water supply projects. We have not had any quantified benefits at this moment, but we laid a firm foundation for building future sustainable partnerships. What we see as our immediate challenges and opportunities at this moment is a new coastal development between Ilembe District Municipality and Utunguru District Municipality. These are water-starved areas, rural areas in Utungulu, Zululand, and Umkhonyakudi area, where water is very scarce. There is a big dam which is called the Pongola Poor Dam in that area, which is not used for human consumption, and we think that the economic development and potential around the Pongola Poor Dam and the Makatini Flats needs to be investigated further. Value-adding opportunities in water resources, water quality, stream flow reduction, and wastewater sector in the Maputo area, where we are project leaders for a number of projects for the Department of Water Affairs, such as the Working for Water Project and the National Microbial Programs. I would like now to have the opportunity to talk about the water volumes that we have. The Maputo is driven by industry supply, and the demand volumes remain constant for the year 2005. The biggest drop in the actual supply was in the transfer volumes, mainly because we had favorable rainfall conditions in our large lake in Sesi and also in the Goedertrou Dam. So it was not necessary to transfer all those volumes of water that we thought we were going to do. A further decrease in the water sales due to environmental measurements implemented by consumers such as demand management resulted in lower volumes being delivered than was anticipated. As I said earlier, we are a large supplier to very large industries. I would like now to take the opportunity, Madam Chair, to introduce Albert Grierson, our financial manager, to present the financial statements. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. From the assessment that was done, we can clearly see that it's going well with Maputo Water financially. Our annual plans for 2006 is the celebration of our 25th annual report. We adhere to the PMMA Act, the Water Service Act, and we receive an unqualified audit report this year, even with the implementation first year of IFRS. I just want to highlight a few of the financial performance issues. It was our first adoption of IFRS and went quite smoothly this year. Biggest impact was on our fixed assets, which I will explain later on. There was also an increase in revenue from 143 million to 166 million, and that was mainly due to a tariff increase of approximately 5% and other major maintenance on the B line. We operate an inlet system into the sea line, into the sea, and one of these pipelines are dedicated to a specific customer, and they've committed to actually pay the maintenance cost as it is incurred, therefore the large increase in income this year. The operating expenditure increased by $7 million. That was mainly due to new pipeline lease, which was a new scheme to ourselves, as well as the subsidies to the Tangakuri Management Services. We have entered into a partnership agreement with the Tangakuri District Municipality, and in the first year we saw it fit to actually subsidize them with, to the amount of $3.5 million to assist them in the partnership and the way forward. Our profitability increased to $19 million, and that was mainly due to international financial reporting standards adjustment on the life of our assets. Most of the assets seen that we are approximately 5 years old are fully depreciated before the current year. Therefore, all the depreciation was moved from prior years and actually depreciated now onward for a period of 5 to 10 years further on. The impact of that in the current year was $3.4 million, as well as the prior year was $3.4 million increase in depreciation. What is not on the slide is that our reserves increased to approximately $135 million, and that is due to be plugged back into expansion as well as other initiatives to our strategy that Rebecca highlighted. Our profitability ratio. The profitability factors were negatively influenced by the long outstanding debt of Kanyakuri DM of $10.9 million. They incurred costs in the region of about $2 million per month, which we manage on a monthly basis as well together with RAF and Treasury. And they have managed to brought that down to $4.1 million in March with a payment of $10.9 million. In our second financial year with the partnership, and we look forward to actually being able to help them with the debt burden that they have. Our capital facilities, the IFRS adjustment, as I've explained before, was in the region of $45 million. However, only $3.4 million of that, it was for the current year, and $3.4 million for the prior year. The remainder was for before 2005. Our comparative indicators, both of the factors seem very beneficial to us. I just want to highlight these two for you, which is the current ratio. The current ratio was vaguely influenced due to additional creditors from Tangakuri Management Services. That was in the region of $1.3 million over and above our normal business. We've managed to bring that down to 30 days. The increase in trade creditors caused by the delays in billing by GRAS for government water charges. GRAS is planning to actually get our funds corrected with the way we treat our government levies. Therefore, we said at that stage $8.4 million that we needed to pay over to GRAS. That also increased from $2.2 million. The working ratio and the operating ratio, the standard of having a 0.75 ratio indicates that a 25% profitability or profit margin should be built in. That should be read in conjunction with what we want to achieve with our reserve policy, and we should take into account the social responsibility together with the municipalities, as well as the free water aspects that we need to adhere to. Again, current, I want to also mention that our reserves currently form 33% of our gross assets. All the other indicators, the blood profitability and solvency remain steady with previous 4 or 5 years. In conclusion, I just want to mention again, Tripoli Water is financially secure, and our big aim is to keep it that way, with actually taking into account everything we want to achieve with assisting our water service authorities and bringing social solutions to people for water. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lee. Of course, we are so sad about the fact that you didn't get us to celebrate with you. Your 25 years, you will have to make up to the portfolio committee how and when. We are happy for you to inform us about. Can I just ask you, thank you very much, Ms. Patrice, for the presentation. We've asked that Isangala be done next, and it's for the following reasons. I think honorable members, you would know that this is the third year now that we have Isangala before us, and the third year where it appears the situation is exactly the same. I do want to remind the members that this is what we resolved the last time. There were many things that we that you said with regards to the non-compliance, the fact that the board is not operating, few people that are all of these things you said. Now, the message that we got from the department was that a decision has been taken into the department, and the presentation will be done by what? And I think that's why we were slightly confused. Who's going to do what? We have been informed as a portfolio committee also that. There is a process of disestablishment of the board. And I think these and many others probably will have to be clarified. There is a report that we got as the portfolio committee, an annual report, nothing different from what we saw the last time. And then maybe we should ask Ms. Ryan to lead us on this process.
Chairperson, the disciplinary establishment process and the report. I understand that is someone here from Inkangana to give the report. If I can just say that yes, a decision has been taken to disestablish Inkangana, the minister and the director general have taken the decision, and the processes are now underway to put that in place. Can I hand over to the Kandana representative to take you through the presentation?
Thanks, Chairperson and members of the portfolio committee. And all protocols left. We are not quite sure, as of now, as to what is that which we should do, given the information which we found here, that the decision has been taken, that the board has been disestablished. Formally, we don't have that. We just hear it over the corridors. And I think at an appropriate time, that would formally be communicated to ourselves. We should also point out that as of now,
Chairperson, my point of order is that if indeed it's a fact that the board wasn't informed of the decision taken, then I don't think it was appropriate to raise it here. I think it should have been raised formally with the board before it even came here.
We will undertake to find out for ourselves the relevant facts. Ikangala, I think you have also read our report. It's a committee seat. It's a report last year. With a number of recommendations based on the observations that we had out of the report. And I think it would be good to speak to that, to what the portfolio committee did say. Because it's a public document. It's a document that was adopted last year. It's a document that I'm pretty sure. And I think we might as well just say to all the boards, as soon as we adopt our report in Parliament, it will be wise for all of you to take the report, read it, respond to it if you can, because it is quite it's an important process that we go through. All of this goes through the further discussion, a report being given to Parliament. We go to the National Assembly. Sometimes they ask us to debate the report, and sometimes it is part of. In this instance, the Water Board's report was debated in the National Assembly last year. And all of these things that they have said were in there. So I think we would
we would want to ask everyone and Itangala, it's in your own interest to read the report of the portfolio committee, because we made recommendations. And in this instance, we had a lot to say about the Itangala.
Chairperson, in no way am I disputing the report of the committee and recommendations of made by the committee. It's just that there are certain common courtesies, and I think those courtesies have to be in compliance with.
Thanks, Chairperson, also accepting the comments made. In terms of the activities of the board, insofar as 30 June 2006, the two members appointed were able to appoint and external auditors just to go through our books in terms of the law. In terms of the overview, we were saying that two members have been appointed up to so far. The situation is not much that different from what we reported last year. Currently, we have a staff of four permanently appointed employees, and the activities, very minimal, is the building of the waters of the bulk supply. And the only income which we got is only one municipality which is paying, and that's the one which we are able to run our business. And on that one, we were able to put together the information of the water produced, in particular on the two purification plants, that is Gongon Springs and Veldevrede. And on that one, we are indicating the water sales as expected by ourselves in terms of what is that which we should be able to get, the volumes and also the amount. And in terms of the income of the water board, which we said that for the past 2 years, in fact, from 2005, we didn't get any subsidy from the department. We're just surviving on what we're getting from those entities which we're still able to pay for the services rendered. And that then is the status of the finances of the board. And in terms of our balance sheet breakdown, the current asset is at 47.1%, and the fixed asset is 22.9%, and there are no loans, and the equity is at 36.4%, and then we don't have long-term liabilities. And in terms of the financial indicators, 7.1% growth rate in water sold and 34.2% growth rate in revenue, lowest operating expenses, positive operating income, positive return for the first time since establishment, and a profit of 137,000. And our indicators are such that no drug subsidies were provided for the year 2005-2006, and we have in the reserve 820 and 374. And current asset 1.63201, no long term liabilities. And the current liabilities 307,547. And our strategic objectives as of now, being economically independent and financially viable, improve revenue collection, access to affordable and sustainable water services at acceptable levels, supporting municipal services delivery objectives, rising awareness of value of water, health, sanitation and the environment, commitment to economic empowerment of communities, develop pool of skills for socio-economic growth, partnership with private sector and other water boards. In conclusion, we believe the appointment of more board members might be necessary, and the appointment of senior managers, as we have said that there are no senior managers in the board, transfer of bulk infrastructure to Jangala Water with unlimited powers and budget, and the establishment of board committees, as we have indicated that we didn't have the committees in the past year. We should also make a point that we should be able to align 5-year business plan up to 2011 with municipal IGPs, water service development plans, and Millennium Goals on water and sanitation services, which is one of the issues identified in the report on compliance matter. And the board to appraise its budget and submit for approval by the end of April for 2007-2008, sign water services agreements with municipalities, self-sustained board on service delivery, efficient and effective service delivery will lead to a better life and contribute to local economic growth. And that's the conclusion of our presentation. Of course, we'll take note of the decision which has been taken. Of course, we are still saying it has not yet been communicated to ourselves. And for sure, the portfolio committee would found it proper to intervene on this matter. Thanks.
Thank you very much to both boards again, honorable members over here. One would like to know why the board not submit a business plan for the financial period of 2006. And why could the board not submit to Treasury the 2006 budget as required by the Public Finance Management Act? And maybe the last one is that why did the board not implement the risk management strategy and fraud prevention plan as required by National Treasury?
Thanks, Chairperson. It is true, as reflected in the report, that the board did not submit those three key policy documents.
Of course, as a result of
the environment which was taking place and also interacting with DWARF, seeking for guidance, that in view of how the board is going through, what is that which the board should do? Should we submit? In particular, the business plan and also this document from the National Treasury. And at that time, the advice which we got was that because it seems you are not operating as a full-fledged board, even if you can submit a 5-year plan, it seems it will just remain a submission and you are not going to be able to be measured against it. And that's why that kind of an omission, which we accept, was made. The one on the risk management, we have also realized that we didn't do that. And as we were
year we're supposed to finalize that kind of a risk management strategy, but we accept that that was not submitted in the previous financial year.
I seem to pick it up that Kangala puts the blame on lack of support by John. And it is noted that the response has always been this. But why not say it is not acceptable that you disregard your constitutional obligation because you do not get support from a particular department of government? Because you have an obligation to comply. And with due respect, I don't think the excuse is acceptable.
Thanks, Chairperson Mshlatusi. Much as Mshlatusi does not have any problems, it looks like, but I wanted to just know what on the ongoing operations and maintenance. It's a critical concern of those involved in water sector. How has your board factored into this into your budget and program? And I also want to know, the department provides many services to capacitate water service providers in all regions. How has your water board assisted in facilitating this process?
I think that the members are probably right. Facility also can also help answer us the issue of, I'm not so sure in your presentation, the issue of debt. No wonder my mic wasn't as bad, and I said, so I was struggling. If you can just also shed some light on how do you think this issue of debt to the municipalities needs to be addressed. I think the member is correct with regards to Ikangala. You know, last year I remember very well, we were there up in V475. When we dealt with the Ikangala report, the members just not say anything. And I can see the members is just doing the same thing. They feel they'd rather not engage because what is the point? It is ridiculous. We just shocked at our level of parliament. But for the third year, we come here comes the board, and our obligation is just to deal what the speaker sends to the committee. All of your reports are by the speaker have been given to the portfolio committee. So we have an obligation as a matter of duty to deal with the annual reports when they are being referred to us by the speaker. I think we are at a total loss and shock that for the third year we are expected to say the same thing. And I think we really need to be assisted in this regard. We don't know what more we must say because they are laws. What do we do when the Public Finance Management Act hasn't been complied with? What do we do when the National Treasury regulations haven't been followed? What do we do when there are no internal audits? We see that the board has managed to turn around some deficits and so on. But what do we do when that which has been decided in this parliament has been ignored, and we're not sure, is it being ignored or what is the story? And so I think you must understand then the response from the members in just not wanting to engage has got to do with that. So I think both Wok and Ikangala needs to tell us. It's not going to help Ikangala to tell us what Wok has done and hasn't done. The Public Finance Management Act is for everyone. Everyone. And individually you are obligated by what is supposed to happen. They must a business plan, must go to the department, they must all these other things. Now, I think you've got to help us out of the situation. Because it's not right that you can come before the parliament all the time and expect us to say something different. We have resolved earlier on that where the Public Finance Management Act are not implemented, we will seek a remedy. And I think we have been forced in this instance to say what remedy do we seek when the Public Finance Management Act is not implemented. And so I think the board also must take some responsibility to tell the committee, because it's you that are appearing before us now, to tell the committee, what do you think we should do? Must we also break the law? Must we ignore all of these laws? Must we just make it that it's not there? Because this is ridiculous that, it's just highly ridiculous that people can actually do it. And appear before the committee all the time, and we must just accept that everything is the same. So before I rant and rave and go on and on and on, I think we're just in shock. We're just in total shock that for the third year around, we're sitting with a similar situation, and we can't believe it that at this level, that we can actually have those things like this. So if we can get some response both from the club meeting and from Ikangala, and then we'll break.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my question or my comment is directed to the department. It seems as if the department is causing confusion also to us and to all of us. I heard the Rand Water saying the department has asked them to go to Ikangala. Meanwhile, there is also a board. All these boards are appointed by the department. Why don't they synergize their work? It seems as if the Rand Water Board is doing its own thing, and the Ikangala board is also doing its own thing. It seems the department, if they can clarify to us, because these things are there.
Thanks, Jefferson. The situation as of now and for the past 3 years in the board, one would say the situation in fact has not yet changed, but all the time the submission is made in terms of the things which need to be done. And as we have said, that we went to the department to seek for advice, because we're aware that the board is no longer operating as it's supposed to. And it seems the department is having some kind of views as to what needs to be done. And we advise that it's the same thing, even if you can develop a business plan for 5 years, there are steps which the department will take, and that one is talking about something of for the past 3 years, and that up to date.
Equally, Ikangala, we ask you yourself, what have you done? We will deal with that later. We respectfully ask you, Ikangala, can you persuade this committee? What it is that you have done? You know, if Rob didn't want to take it, can you tell us, you've got a business plan, it's somewhere there. You can show us at least. I don't want to hear whether Brock is taking it or not, but respectfully yourself. Have you sat down at least to do all these things that is expected of you in terms of the law?
Yes, Chair. With due respect, we are able to sit and look into all these things. Unfortunately, we couldn't finish on time due to all other developments which were coming. And time caught up with us, and we're not able to submit that with the business, with the annual report.
Thanks, Madam Chair. In terms of the capital, we've got a capital refurbishment program on track at the moment. We refurbish equipment and pipelines and buildings that need to be refurbished. We've also got a reserve policy in place where we put in funds for future use. And then in terms of debt collection from municipalities, it is a problem because those people is dependent on the equitable share. What we have done with Mkunyakuri, we've signed a strategic partnership where they use some of the equitable share money, which they then allocate to Mkhlatuzi Water for the services that we've rendered.
I think, Madam Chair, I would like to add something, especially when it comes to maintenance. What we have also done, I think in my capacity also as a vice chairperson, I'm the chairperson of the audit committee. So what we have done is that we have had a discussion with management in a sense that we need to revise our financial model for tariff modeling to ensure that as we put that, we have to look at the maintenance reserve in that and the issue of social responsibility. But we have not finalized it because we also wanted to consult the department and also consult TCTA. I think sometimes they have municipalities with that particular model. So, but we're hoping that in the beginning of the new financial year, we will then begin to put that in place. The second aspect is that also we were looking at the process where we can acquire an asset management software that is holistic, that would also look at the efficiency of the maintenance, the issue whether to maintain or actually to refurbish, so that there is an efficiency in the manner that we look at the maintenance issue itself. And also to ensure that our financial reserves are able and aligned to the issue of capital replacement costs, so that should an asset be fully depreciated, at least by the time it goes through, we have enough capital to ensure that it can be replaced at any in time. So, but what we decided is that all these issues will then start operating in the current financial year going on from July 2007. The issue of capacity building, as the CEO was saying, we have a partnership with Mkhanyakude. In that partnership, we are implementing agents, but also I think in the manner that we render the service, it is rendered in a manner that allows the skills transfer between us and the municipality. At the moment, I think everybody is aware, especially those who are municipalities, there is scarcity of skills, there is lack of knowledge, there is rough terrains which make it difficult for them to be able to supply water in a modern way. So what we've done is that in this agreement that we have in supporting them, we do things in such a way, for instance, that we transfer the skills, first of all, the issue of costing, the issue of developing a business plan, the issue of project management, the issue of technical skills as such, so that as time goes on, as we move with this model, we as an organization, we can, I think as years go by, we can begin to move back a bit and allow them to take a more leading role because of the skills that they will be getting from us. And the issue of debt management as well, at the moment, with the help of the department, there's an agreement that we've put in place, but also we face problems in the future in the sense that as we implement this project for this municipality, we were financing it ourselves, but also in terms of the risk management, we then decided on a policy to say, I think once debt reaches a particular element, we don't want to go on, you know, when there is no money. So we're trying to manage the debt, but at the same time to be aware of the fact that we should be complying. But we've had much more extensive support from the department together with Treasury, but also we've built a relationship
with the local government department in terms of the minister. We've had engagement with the minister and the local in the local government department, so that this partnership between us and the municipalities can also be assisted by the minister in ensuring that there is adequate financial management from their side, so that they can begin to pay us in the aspect where we have to carry them for quite some time until they recover. Thank you very much.
Very much, everyone. Let's have a quick break, and let's come back in about 10 minutes. And then we'll conclude with Albany and Makhalis. Thank you very much, everyone. Good afternoon, everyone. Please note that there is water and some refreshments outside if you'd like to step outside and have some refreshments.
Good afternoon, Madam Speaker and committee members. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to expand a bit on our annual report. As one can see, we're a very small water board, but quite important to the people who receive water from us. For the year ending in June 2006, we provided 513,000 megalitres of water to our main customer, which is in Shlumbe Municipality, to the 18,000 residents, and in the holiday season, about an additional 10,000 holiday makers. It's a small area comprising Bushman's River Mouth, Rivers Bend, Marcel, Harmony Park, Kenton-on-Sea, and Ikupumleni. We pumped 65% of this water. Our sand dunes at Dyer's Cross, which is 9 kilometres away, and the balance we do from reverse osmosis of seawater at Bushman's River Mouth. The two sources mix in our holding reservoirs, and no chemical additives are necessary. We have got challenges in our area. We are in a geological dry zone and do not have access to underground water. There is no possibility of dams, as our rivers are tidal for approximately 30 kilometres. That's both the Kuriffa River and Bushman's River. The surrounding farms are converting to game farms, and the indigenous population is moving into our towns at a rapidly growing rate. The population has more than quadrupled since our last reservoir was built in 1989, and instead of having 10 to 12 days water in reserve for emergencies, we are down to 2 or 3 days. The massive influx of seasonal visitors is a challenge. More people are retiring to the coast. infrastructure is aging. The majority of the population cannot afford to pay for the services. And there's a perception that water comes from the sky and is therefore free, which leads to excess wastage. We work with the Inhlamba municipality to overcome some of these challenges, but how we are now financing new ways of getting water is if developers come in, they've got to put up the money, not only for themselves, but to give us excess supply for other people coming in who can't pay. Kenton Eco Estate is quite a high profile one. It's a 400 million development, and probably by the time when they're building houses, etc., it's probably around more than R1 billion. But they are coming in with R9 million to upgrade and increase our water production, to not only provide them, but to have excess capacity. In Inhlamba, as the Water Authority, have also obtained big funding, which they have already obtained, to build an additional storage dam. From our balance sheet, again, as one can see, our turnover is only not even 3 million a year, but we run a tight ship, we keep our expenses under control, but we don't have funds for any large-scale projects, such as the reservoir. I mean, obviously, then we work with Inhlamba. That's it. Thank you.
Of the portfolio committee, the honorable board members of various boards, colleagues, I just want to say it's a very, very good afternoon to you all. First, I just want to introduce myself. I'm here representing Makhalis Water as a board member of Makhalis Water, and want to apologize for our chairperson, Mr. Lekhana, who couldn't make it here, you know, for various, you know, commitments. I would like at this stage, if you allow me, Chair, to introduce, you know, the team of Makhalis Service Committee and make a presentation here. First of all, I just want to introduce our new lady who just joined us, Ms. Barbara Muchosi, who is our senior manager in audit. There she is, very much. And also, next to me is Jeff Ngobeni, our chief executive committee. Our chief executive officer, and I've got a CFO, our CFO here by the name of Mushumi Kopane. Chair, if you allow me, I'd like to just to not go any further, but to allow our CEO to take us through. Okay, thanks very much. Okay. Can you come over, Barbara? Thank you, Chair. I apologize for that. Thank you. This time, I could just hand over to our CEO to not to take us through. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, honorable members of the committee, board members of other water boards, staff, as well as colleagues from other water boards. I'll also try to be brief and to the point. I know it's an afternoon and we've sat here for the last 2 days. Indeed. These are the issues that I'll be talking to this afternoon, as Madam Chair has noticed. Our presentation
is largely focused on the financial performance of the organization, as well as some of the challenges that we have experienced over the 05-06 year, and some of the initiatives that we have already put in place and we've already planned to change some of those challenges that we have previously experienced. Now, briefly, as you would know, we operate over the three provinces of Northwest Limpopo and Gauteng, over a 34,000 square kilometer area. And the organization of the Water Board has been around now for 38 years. And in that 38 years, the growth has been quite progressive and covering over a distance that includes up to 12 municipalities. And as you can see on the map there, we cover the eastern part of the Northwest Province and the southwestern part of Limpopo, as well as the northern part of Gauteng. In terms of the consumers that are covered in the region, they are in excess of 2 million. And I think I'll skip that one. Let me go straight to financial performance. Now, what is key or noticeable about what I have there in terms of the graph there is that the revenue streams that you see in blue, the 140, 149, 164, 175, excludes any other income that the Water Board generates or has generated over the years. I.e., the revenue streams that you see there only focus on the bulk water phase. When we provide services to other institutions, such as municipalities and the other clients, that is only included as other income. So over the number of years, the total gross revenue would be more than what you see on the screen there. However, what you see on the red there is our operating expenses. Our operating expenses have been increasing gradually, but not at the rate at which the turnover or gross revenue has increased over time. And Madam Chair, to be brief on this, I think in 2004-2005, we've had quite some significant challenges, which we then turned around in 2005-2006. And what you see there on that slide is that the gross turnover in 2005-2006, there has been a significant adjustment in that there was a removal of intercompany transactions, and that's why you see the revenue coming down to 140 million. And this is a simple graphical representation of what I've already spoken to previously. Now, in terms of the analysis of the income, as you can see, a big chunk of our income, about 54% of it, comes from the water sales. And we've got a 15% fee coming from other value-added services, which in the year under review, i.e. 05-06, amounted to a total of 85 million, including the subsidies, interest, as well as RDP projects. So all in all, Madam Chair, in terms of the revenue stream of the organization, the bulk water sales constitute the 54% that you see on the board. In terms of the analysis of the expenditure over the same period, 25% is wages and salaries, and 34% is raw water costs, and maintenance and transport is 12%, and all the other costs of depreciation, interest paid, and provision for bad debts amounting to the other 30% of the other costs of the organization. So surely what is important for us as a management decision is that we would want to contain our operating and maintenance costs, and of course to revert back to drop with regards to the kinds of tariff increases that we've been seeing over time, and also those that have already been proposed for 06-07. Madam Chair, a brief on the balance sheet of the organization. There has been quite some growth in the balance sheet, as you can see. The numbers are very clear there, Madam Chair. On the fixed assets, the growth has been 6% or more than 6%, and the fixed assets are sitting at just about 600 million. And as you can see further down, the the capital and reserves, and those are the accumulated reserves, then I'll see that the total of 825 million. In terms of the current liabilities, which I've highlighted today, we have reduced our current liabilities from a high of 64 to 39 million. So that's a reduction of some 38% and also. So, Madam Chair, in terms of the viability of the balance sheet, as you can see, I think the numbers talk to everybody there. The balance sheet is relatively strong. And on the consolidated income statement, the area, as you can see, with the removal of the intercompany transaction, there has been a reduction in the revenue from the water sales. However, as I've also indicated further down there, that in terms of the other income generated from the other sources, we're sitting at just about 85 million. The cost of sales have also come down to 76 million. Our operating expenses have also come down 12% over the same period. And our surplus for the year of 506 is just about 40 million. And what we also did there was to simply give a brief breakdown of what makes up these numbers. There's five key business units in the organization, two units which we manage on behalf of the municipality, and the other three units which include all our bulk operations as well as some of the retail operations for which we've had quite some challenges and which have led the external auditors to issue a qualification, which is something that I'll talk to you later on. And so I will not go through the individual business unit statements. However, what is significant, Madam Chair, is that the overall, while there has been improvements, as you will see later on, as far as the ratios are concerned in some of the key areas of the business, we believe that the financial challenges that we experienced in the year under review, we are already on course to working to manage them and to change them around. Investment income in the year under review has declined from 26 to 19 million. However, our finance costs equally have declined from 20 million to 4 million. So you can see a positive move in that regard. Our zero coupons from 12 to 14, and our term deposits are now sitting at 257 million. In terms of the long-term outstanding debt, we're sitting at 13 million, which is quite minimal. However, we've now raised new debt, and as a result of that, now our long-term commitments, which are outstanding, are sitting at a total amount of some 33 million from 12 million last year. And this is largely due to the fact that we are investing a significant amount of money in the refurbishment of one of our key plants, that i.e. the Farokop water purification plant, in order to treat the deteriorating quality of raw water coming from the RCPS port dam. Now, in terms of the ratios that you can see on the board, most of the ratios are in the positive. Although our gross margin in the last year has reduced from 48 to 46%, we aren't alarmed as yet, but we believe we need to maintain the ratios as they are. As you can see, the current ratios and the quick ratios, which are a key determinant of the operation of the organization, are also in the positive. I've also indicated the the rate of return of our assets, which is quite low, as you can see there, and there's quite a number of factors that have contributed to the rate at which the return on assets is quite low. Even though we are refurbishing the assets currently and we're spending additional money to refurbish those assets, we are not generating additional revenue, and as a result, that would then tend to have a negative impact on the return on assets. But our debt-to-equity ratio and our long-term debt ratio, as you can see, they are very good, 0.05 in each instance. Now, most importantly, the operational performance that's linked to the financial performance, I've just listed the number of projects that have contributed to the status of the balance sheet. Some of those projects, I will not go through them. They are largely rural-based, and they are part and parcel of the drought relief and part and parcel of the rural water supply program. And however, key to this is that we have the backing of an infrastructure that helps us to have the kind of annuals that we have now, i.e. we've got 1,500 kilometers of pipeline that we operate and manage, and there's at least 40 reservoirs that we're managing, and in the last 5 years we've invested more than $800 million on capital infrastructure programs, and in the year under review we spent some $70 million on capital infrastructure expenditure, and we anticipate in the next 5 years to spend some $150 million on infrastructure maintenance. And something that I did not include in the Madam Chair is the plans for capital infrastructure expenditure for the next 5 years. We're looking, we engage now in negotiations with various mines and municipalities. So we anticipate that all such expenditure could be in up to a total of $1 billion if we can get all the municipalities and the mines to buy in into the plans that we already are involved in discussions with them. Key finance link successes over the same period, Madam Chair, the DBSA loan facility, just a little bit of a mixed up, the DBSA loan facility, we received a loan of $150 million as part and parcel of the infrastructure program, the joint interbank acceptance rate plus 1.46, which is we consider to be quite good for an entity of the size of Makhalis Water. And we've got some good investments generated in the last year, some $19 million just from the investments alone. Our debt to equity ratio, I think you've seen it, is very low compared to the kind of asset base that we have. And our tariffs, average tariffs over the same period, have been in the region of 2 and 10 cents, and so which is quite good. We are able to translate the benefits of efficiencies to our downstream consumers. So further down in terms of our BE spend, we're sitting around 47.2%. We believe that can be improved, and we think that we would want to accelerate our BE spend to percentages that are much more than this to meet our targets. Now, other successes that we've seen and have noted in the annual report, Madam Chair, is for the Rustenburg city and for the city of Tshwane, we've got two projects that are about $800 million and which we conceptualized a few years back, about 2 years back. Now we've successfully implemented them. We are the operators and maintainers of those two key projects. And the two cities have realized the benefits of those two projects that we've initiated. Implementation of the balance tariff I've just spoken to, the average is to 2 and 10 cents, that translates to between 0 and 6%. There were some municipalities for whom we did not increase the tariff. We've maintained the same tariff for 2 years now, so that's why you see the 0 to 6% there. And in terms of the implementation of some of the draft projects, I think we successfully done that in the last year. This simply a simple breakdown of the BEE procurement status over the last 3 years, and as you can see, it's hovering around the late 40s, and we would want to pick it up above 50%. The challenges that we've realized, and we also have set and are setting up some plans to turn them around, is the matter of the asset revaluation. We appointed new auditors, and they indicated to us that we're not complying in terms of the IFRS, where we need to revalue our assets, and so they issued a qualification in that regard. But however, most importantly, the second line is that of the retail debtors. Since 1997, the Water Board has been managing cost recovery on behalf of the City of Tshwane and on behalf of Moses Kotane Municipality and also Madideng Municipality. And what's been happening over there is that the retail debtors have been accumulating, and because the areas in which we operate are largely peri-urban and rural, so the ability of the consumers to pay back what they've been owing to Makhalis Water has been such that our cost recovery has been sitting below 50%. And so the debt has been accumulating. And at the end of 2005-06, the debt was sitting at around 30 million. And so the auditors qualified us in that regard. And so we then engaged the two municipalities, you know, to the extent that we would not want to have a qualification on debtors who belong to municipalities. And so now, in one instance, in the Moses Kotane municipality, we have transferred the retail operations of cost recovery and the like back to the municipality so that they, the risk reverts to them. And we're now currently negotiating with the city of Tswane to review the contractual relationship between ourselves and them so that the risk of the retail debtors which are outstanding should revert back to the municipality and not sit with the board. Because at the end of the day, the board was simply providing a service on behalf of the municipality. And now we find ourselves being qualified because of the retail debtors, which as we stand now in the Moses Kotane municipality, we do not have control over. But this is something that we have engaged the municipality, and we hope we can find a solution to that. A few years back when Makhalis Water and Rand Water got into a separate scheme called the Southern Scheme, funds were raised via INCA, that is the IFC unit. And at that time, around 1997, when loans were raised, as you can see, the loans were raised at a rate of 17.99% max. So now we're sitting with those loans, which are at ceiling levels, and we're looking at ways and means to either redeem, have an early redemption of those loans, but obviously that comes with a cost. So we are engaged with INCA and IFC, you know, and DBSA to see as to whether can't we renegotiate those loans so that that they are consistent with what is the rates today. Because at the end of the day, these costs are being picked up by our consumers downstream. At this stage, we have not received the actual certificate from the receiver of revenue. So we would want to get the certificate from the receiver that we are tax exempt. And so that is something that we're looking at. The auditors have highlighted that, and so we're working to that. Of the remaining retail areas, we're looking to increase cost recovery to 5%, but obviously that is a concerted effort between ourselves, the municipalities, ward councillors, and all the affected stakeholders in those areas. And at this stage, something was also highlighted that by the auditors that we need to have an accounting system that would be able to provide us the capabilities to manage our accounting situation properly. And at this stage, we are finalizing that process. So all in all, Madam Chair, I think we are online to change those areas of weaknesses that have also been identified by the auditors. And in order to do that, I think there's a number of things that we also do. We're looking also at reducing our operational expenses, and I've already highlighted to that earlier on, finalize some of the WSP agreements, and at this stage we've signed a number of other agreements, and so we need to consolidate all those agreements in all the various municipalities in which we operate. Debt management, we need to settle those debts, those long-term debts for which attract a high interest rate. As I said earlier on, we're in negotiations with the various mines and municipalities all the way up to Limpopo in Mokopane. So we believe that we can strengthen the operations of the water board by including those consumers in our agreed. In terms of the tariff policy, we believe that what we are currently charging some of the mines and some of the bulk commercial consumers is not consistent with the economies, because we believe that they are being cross-subsidized. So we need to review the tariff model and the tariff policy so that they pay competitive tariff rate. As far as the factoring of debtors, and this is more on the retail debtors, and that's what we are negotiating with the municipalities on. On the investment portfolio, we're currently sitting with some 257 million in our investment portfolio, and we believe that we can structure that, or perhaps to look at different asset classes that can help us to enhance the value of those investments. And finally, Madam Chair, as I alluded earlier on, the qualification that we received was on those retail debtors amounting to 30 million, as well as on the revaluation of the assets in terms of the IFRS. However, in terms of the viability of the water board, as it's in the numbers, in terms of the strength of the water board, I think we are on course, as always has been all these years, to continuously improve the financial status of the water board. Thank you, Madam Chair. And as you noted, I did not go into the other details or that I included in the annual report. I think it's there for everyone to read. Thank you.
Thank you very much to both boards, Mahali and to Albany members. It's over to yourselves. Any questions for them? Answer.
Thank you. I think it's a question. I apologize if I missed Albany Coach's presentation and part of Mahali's presentation. However, do you have a question or two for Mahali? Chairperson, when we look at the analysis of profitability of this board, very good analysis actually. It says it's from the above graph, and that's a graph that I have on the table, I don't think they have. Revenue versus cost, it is clear that total revenue before subsidies comfortably exceeded. Before subsidies, comfortably exceeded total costs every year since 2002 and 2002. Except for 2005, financial year during which revenue before subsidies, and I'm emphasizing before this, but only just exceeded cost, but it still exceeded cost. Now, Chairperson, I must say that it indicated my question, the answer to my question before I arrived with the latter part of the presentation, and you don't have to answer me, I'll accept. If they still receive subsidies, I wonder if they could explain if they didn't do that already. What indeed are they exactly using subsidies for? Secondly, in the presentation, from the annual statement, it would appear as if, you know, board is doing not too good, not too bad, right? But there is something that intrigues me about what's the board, even though they are doing well, in that if an analysis are made, let me call it competitive indicator analysis, then they all come in, not all, but most, come in at approximately bottom third of water utility averages for various developing countries worldwide. I was wondering if the boys are actually aware of this rating. And when they look at their expenditure plans, you can eat it. Whether this is considered. That particular rating. And this is the last one for Mahali for me, Chairperson, if I may. In this analysis, a remark is made that reads as follows. The accounting approach should be discussed in Mahali, and it should be determined whether any changes need to be made to bring the financial statements in line with other water boards or not. And it says that the comments of the auditor must also be taken into account in whether in the water board approach to financial reporting. I
one thing Mahalis maybe could maybe just criticize, maybe elaborate a bit on that. But from that analysis, it would appear as if Mahalis is not in line with other water boards. I'm not able to say which other water boards, but it would appear as if there's some water boards that are in line with generally accepted practices, Father Kazi or something, but that Mahalis isn't seen as one of them.
To Mahalis, you have dealt very broadly with your retail cost recovery. Okay. Which is very encouraging. I notice here that you're soliciting intervention from councillors, and community representatives. I just want to check whether you think that will yield positive results. Is that all that you can do? Because this appears to be a very, very big challenge to your goal. How far you can go, or can you do more? I concede that you have really done your best to indicate what your case is doing and what you are doing. But this is a question for me. And have you finalized your bulk water strategy? Can you please elaborate on that one? You have indicated what you like me to do. You note that the auditor was unable to express an opinion as a result of material qualifications that is a little better than six persons. Are you hopeful going forward that you can succeed to overcome these challenges? Albany, you have a challenge in terms of storage. You have actually mentioned that you are a very, very small board, but how long do you intend to sit with this problem? How do you intend to overcome it? In the short term, that is. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. My question to my colleagues have been covered, but I would like to ask Albany Coast. They have a loan with DWAS, and although our family must be quite small, the interest rate of 15% seems to be quite high.
Have you negotiated with that idea that lower? May I answer that? Madam Chair? Yes, now I wrote to DWAF and they said, tough luck. You've got it when it was high. If you've got it when it was low, you'd have been paying less. Can I also answer the committee member here about the water storage? And Shlamli has already obtained MIC funding of 3.5 million, which will only build a 3 megaliter dam. We are looking to finance to build a 5 megaliter dam. Somehow, I think the Shlamli has already applied for more funds, but otherwise, we've almost paid off. We've got another loan there with Standard Bank that is nearly finished, and we're looking to look for, to maybe subsidize, look for another loan to so that we can build a 5-megalitre dam, and that will take us forward. I think I said in my presentation, the last dam was built in 1989, and we've got two megalitre dams. We build an additional 5-megalitre dam that gives us sufficient storage for the next 7 to 10 years. The tenders actually are going out shortly to build this dam in any case.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll take a few of these questions and I'll also ask my CFO to talk to some of those. As regards Honourable Councillor Arendt's question is, why are we receiving subsidies? And as indicated in the report here, that in the 2004-2005 period.
Just on a point of order, Chairman. Yeah, I'm beginning to have a problem now. I'm suffering an identity crisis here. Yesterday I was a minister, today I'm a councillor.
Madam Chair, we draw this. Honourable MP.
Okay, now, as you've noticed, the subsidy amounts are quite minimal. And going forward, as you can see, the organization is not even dependent on these subsidies. And why are we getting these subsidies? Because we operate largely in rural areas where some of the municipalities are unable to fund some of those operation and maintenance programs. And so the funds have been coming from DWAF directly to Magaliesberg Water. And now, with some of those municipalities having signed a transfer of asset agreements to the municipalities, those funds will then be fed directly to those municipalities. So going forward, we do not anticipate that this line or this income statement line would remain in our books. And that's why even in our bulk sales, we do not even include the subsidies, because we consider them not a key component of our revenue stream. But then what we do is everything is on a zero base, i.e. when the funds come through, they are extended to provide the services to those rural and peri-urban areas which belong to those municipalities. So going forward, you shall not see this line going forward, because the board is not even dependent on these kinds of subsidies. Now, on whether we are aware that we are consistently sitting on the bottom third of water utilities in emerging economies, I think the situation is for us it's a structural situation, and it will probably change over time. But as we stand now, I think the measures that they use to assess utilities across the globe on the basis of their performance and over operating ratios, plant efficiencies, and whatever, we are aware of those measures, and our target is to constantly improve on those. So we will not be in the first tier of water utilities in the next year, but because we are conscious of those key targets that are placed there, it is a continuous effort to want to get the manager. And then the other question that I'll also speak to that was raised was on the retail cost recovery. Is the consultation that we've done enough? And we have not gone to SAGA as yet, for example, to say SAGA to Indonesia, but it's been with the municipalities, with the councillors, and we have also notified the club with regards to this challenge. And perhaps that was the missing link on our part, that we did not aggressively push for the assistance of SAGA in this doing now with the city of Tshwane, which we will sign an agreement with them before the end of this financial year. We believe that we are doing sufficient consultation with Tshwane as a probable risk area on retail cost recovery, because the other components of retail cost recovery were already transferred to Modiskotane. And going forward, we believe that perhaps this is not the core competence of the Water Board to be engaged in cost recovery, but rather focus on the bulk operation and maintenance of water as well as a sewage system. And that's what we decided we're going to do going forward. And as you can see from the other income, the 85 million is largely made up of the services that we provide for the city of Tshwane, for the city of Rustenburg, for the Madibeng, and all the other municipalities in which we operate. And do we believe that we can change the qualification status? Yes, we shall not have a qualification in the current year based on those items that were raised by the auditors in the year under review, unless if they raise any other matters which they didn't raise before, which might be qualification matters, but we do not believe so. So these two methods that we raise, we shall be able to turn them around in the current year.
Madam Chair, just to add on what the CEO said, just on the subsidy issue, we are getting subsidy for two municipalities in the area of operation, that is Moretele and Rustenburg. And on the issue of engagement of municipality, just to add to what the CEO said, some of the strategic members of those municipalities are sitting in our board, so it's easy to engage with them so that we sort out the issue of retail data and the transfer of data to the municipalities themselves. And in terms of the issue of compliance with the accounting statements, that further leads to the revaluation of assets. We are already in a process of identifying services providers who carry out the exercise, and the board has approved that we should go ahead and make sure that the exercise is completed before the end of this financial year, so that this issue is addressed. It's not a qualification at the end of this financial year. Those are the issues that we are going to have this water.
Thank you again to both boards for your presentation. Just a very quick response to Mahalis. I hear what you say on what is your core function and what is not. But I think if you change the issue of this is a core function and destiny, then I think you will get into trouble, because it is important to make that part of your core function, because it will get you into a service delivery problem if your debt exceeds what your income is in such a way. We don't want to get to that situation, but we think that it's really important to see it in that light also. I'm sure the respect that he has made there, because I got very worried when you said it in the way that you did. Having said that, in absentia and those that are here, thank you very much to all the boards for their submission that they've made yesterday, today, the time and the effort that they've made to come here. What's going to happen from here onwards now, of course, we've been waiting with great excitement for Tolga to talk to many of these issues and provide a way forward for us in some of the issues, in many of the issues that have been raised, and in, I think in particular around intergovernmental relations, and particularly the debt issue connected to intergovernmental relations. And then Ms. Schreiner is going to say something more to us, and I'll close off the day with a summary of yesterday and today, and a few remarks about where we're taking the process to offer today and yesterday. let me hand over to Father immediately. William, thank you very much for coming.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm Councillor Smith, William Morocco, responsible for water service. We will do the presentation, and he will be assisted by Cindy Echolo from Municipal Finance, also from Shauda. William?
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, politically, we need to have a councillor to come first, the committee chair. So in case we do have a councillor, to really cover ourselves, honorable member Adams. thank you to you, Chairperson, and the honorable members for the opportunity to talk to this burning issue that is on you know, national, provincial, and local government sphere. And Madam Chair, I want to emphasize that this is not an issue that only affects local government. I think it affects the entire government in totality in terms of debt. I can also give you a figure now. I mean, as municipalities, we are owed in excess of 40 billion rands. 40 billion rands, and that, you know, single is following from municipal finances, and we'll talk more to that. I'm also shocked, Chairperson, that we do owe Water Board 800 million, according to what Dorf has presented. But just try and see if there are mechanisms to really resolve such matters. I wanted to give credit to the Water Board in terms of the role they play. I mean, quite clearly, if one looks at that map, it demonstrates that, you know, these utilities play an important part in terms of the provision of water services, regardless of their size. Because if one looks at a water board such as Namakwa Water, it's fairly small compared to your big brothers such as your Red Water and the likes. But the principle I'm trying to convey to your committee is that you play an important role in our water sector. Chair, I'm sure you might have seen this slide. It's one of my favorite slides. Everywhere I go, I do present a particular slide. And the point that I'm trying to emphasize there is that critical point. I have been speaking to various people within the, you know, experienced water people, and they have advised me, Chairperson, that to some extent, the provision of bulk water is kind of a fairly easy business. Fairly easy business comparatively to you know, your retail business. And I'm sure, I mean, Water Board could also, you know, back me up on that statement. I mean, if you look at the city of Cape Town, I mean, Sipomusa will tend to say that William, bulk is easy, but retail is difficult. So that's the Chairperson, I wanted to emphasize that the critical point, the interface between municipalities and consumers becomes key in terms of this whole debt issue. We can debate it, Chairperson. But I think let's, because I've been listening for the last couple of days, or a day and a half, and I've had some negatives and positives, but I want to concentrate on the positives, because I'm very positive in terms of the way forward of these issues. I mean, in terms of good practice, I mean, we do have the bulk potable water agreement model that we really have, that we've really worked hard between SAUDA and SAU, so that we make sure that, you know, really municipalities understand precisely what sort of agreements they enter into in terms of bulk potable water. Furthermore, we are also proud to say, like the three metros in Gauteng, they do have those particular agreements with rainwater, And that serves as a tool in terms of measuring the performance of water boards, and also, you know, the payment rates that municipalities need to pay for services rendered. Apologies for number three, Madam Chair, it should be Citibank, not Mahalis. Sorry about that. Citibank has also agreements in terms of service level agreements with municipalities in the area of jurisdiction. So for me, it demonstrates that these issues that we have been discussing for the last year and a half are doable. We are able to really make sure that we move in a positive note. The Fela Northern Water, they've got agreements with Mopani, Kukuni, and further on. But maybe the key challenge is, in the presence of those particular agreements, are municipalities paying? You know, maybe that should be one of the key questions. But I'm saying the mechanisms are actually there. And the legislative framework, Chairperson, is also there. But let me just highlight, you know, on a more negative or light, you know, to say obviously the assets and processes within the water sector that are presently happening that hinders, you know, to some extent, you know, payment, I would say, the signing of this agreement. I mean, if one looks at the issues of the completion of the Section 78, I have been hearing these words since yesterday and today. It's quite key because that's where municipalities determine their delivery mechanism. And I want to emphasize it's a mechanism. It's not about whether it's a water board or it's a municipal entity, whatever the case might be. It's a mechanism that they would actually use in terms of provision of services. Tariff policies and enforcement, I mean, we've spoken about methodologies, and Marty, we'll rely heavily on you in terms of your expertise, in terms of helping us as a sector in totality, from source to tap, in terms of really understanding precisely what are the imperatives of pricing water. And I'll tell you about the slide that is coming later on to say, at the municipal level, actual water is, in my own opinion, it's highly underpriced. Highly, highly underpriced. But where does it start? I'm saying it starts from source to bulk and retail. So it's a whole chain, Chairperson. I'm saying, and you can play this on record, Chairperson, I'm saying that the price of water at the retail level is highly underpriced. And that's because we don't understand precisely, you know, the tariff methodologies that we need to use to be able to come to the correct pricing of water. So that is fundamental for us, Chairperson. The issue of ring fencing, we don't know precisely how much water costs at that particular level. And hence, we want to make sure that these tariff policies and tariff enforcement, tariff methodologies are actually key in terms of pricing of water. Madam Chair, you've also mentioned the issue of promotion of corporate governance. I mean, that's clear. We do have a legislative framework on the table. But we want to also emphasize the fact that we want to encourage bulk providers as well, you know, to really give municipalities timely information in terms of what is coming to municipalities in terms of planning and other issues on time so that municipalities could also plan. It was mentioned yesterday that there are some initiatives that are happening, you know, in terms of joint planning. We need to understand precisely what is in the business plan of, you know, bulk providers, whether we can link them up with the IGPs and the WSDPs of municipalities. So it becomes a planning tool in terms of the provision of services. Chairperson, this is also one of my favorite slides. And I'm not going to read the one that's written in Afrikaans, and I would really choose to skip that one. That's just the one that I like, Chairperson. And I'm sure you've seen this for the first time, if not more. But Chair, maybe just to emphasize, I'm happy the DDG is here, but those are regulations, that we really need to move, you know, into regulating of these prices.
it because it comes key in terms of the payment levels. It comes key in terms of the level of investment that we want to put in terms of the water sector. So I'm really appealing to the sector leader, as they call themselves, to really provide leadership in terms of that particular regulations body. This is a slide, Chairperson. If one looks at the CMA charge, which is coming in the next couple of years, raw water price, bulk water price, and retail water price. And we're saying the prices are too low to sustain the assets. That is the fact that is happening at the municipal level. And we really need to make sure that there is a clear understanding in terms of, you know, direction and the leadership that the department needs to give in terms of regulations of prices. Because it contributes to, it doesn't impact in terms of your payment levels and how you treat the poor. From a governance point of view, Chairperson, again, we kind of fragmented because DROP sets the role, Water Board sets the bulk, and municipality sets the retail. But from a methodological point of view, we're not too clear what the sector wants or, you know, towards which direction is the sector taking. So that maybe we need to firm up, Chairperson, and rely heavily on, again, Chairperson, on the leadership of the sector leader. Debt recovery mechanism, Chairperson, I had you emphasize in section 1, this is section 42 or section 41.2 of the MFMA. There is a process that is clearly outlined in terms of how to deal with that issue. So I'm saying there is a legislative framework on the table, or that is there, a legal mechanism in terms of how debt should be dealt with. And this is my own opinion, not as a child, sometimes I fail to understand why municipalities are not paying for services. Right? Sometimes I do fail to understand. But maybe I need to do a thorough investigation to understand precisely what are the issues here. But that's one of my way forward slides that I want to make an undertaking to you and the honorable members. So the issue of ring fencing becomes critical. Well, at SALGA, what we've done, we've really initiated a study, the EASA study that is underway, looking at ring fencing of water services. And we're looking forward to the outcomes of that particular study. And the statement that I'm making at the bottom, Chair, is water is unsustainably priced. The issue is not about access to finance, but to make sure that we're pricing water at the correct, we pitch it at the correct level. Chair, let me just pause there for a while and let Sinki take you through the debt owed to municipalities. And I'm not too sure whether Bobby maybe dwarfed us over some money, because if you look, 4% is government, and I'm not too sure maybe dwarfed is also part of it. But Sinki might give us a hint. Thanks, Sinki.
Thank you, Chairperson, and afternoon, honorable members of this committee and colleagues. Mine is only 3 slides, and after that, I will hand over back to William to continue. Municipalities are constantly struggling to contain debt level within the acceptable norm, and currently the debt outstanding is over 40 billion, and the water debts are of particular concern, because mainly municipalities are unable to disconnect due to water being constitutionally protected as a basic necessity. Municipalities have credit control policy in place, and the question or the challenge is that it needed to be implemented without any political interference. Also take into account that they need to have a customer care management in place to make sure that they provide mechanisms to ensure that their customers are paying. But Jefferson, just to highlight that some of the municipalities are mainly dependent on equitable share. And you find that mainly those are rural municipalities, and you mostly find that half of those particular municipalities, half of the population are unemployed, and all they are indigent. Hence you find that they are unable to pay for the premises. And if you look at that graph there, you find that household, or the debt owed to municipalities, chunk of that comes from the household. So that gives you an overview of this particular problem. going to look at government because I would say the new formula was introduced in 2005. And the component dealing with basic services, the BS, is intended to support the recurring cost of providing basic services. And the component recognizes four core functions currently because of the 130. And the variation of cost across different municipalities is not taken into account. Chairperson, Saga has been in various forums saying that the current cost, which is 130, is far below the level of providing basic services, and this has been confirmed by the FFC in their submission for the 2017 division of revenue. And the issue of one size fits all, Chairperson, is also a problem because we disadvantage municipalities with paying high fixed costs due to factors outside their control. For example, in some municipalities find that it's cheaper to provide this due to the density of the population, but in some municipalities find that due to the topography and the settlement person is very expensive to render that particular service. And further through budget forums, Chairperson, last year, also through Select Committee of Finance, has been calling for the review of cost of basic services in order to probably introduce different average services in, for municipalities with relative comparable cost. And it could probably mean that we will have more than one average cost of service. Just indicate to you that the current cost, 180, is based on study that was compiled by TPLD in 2004. And from 2004 until now, really, so Mr. Chairman is saying that this particular estimated cost of service, which is 180, needs to be reduced. Chairperson, I think I was
thank you. Chair, certainly we don't have all the answers, but this is what we'd like to really suggest, and this is the last slide. To say maybe we really need to, you know, button down some of these issues, because we do have the legislative framework that I believe we could utilize to really resolve these matters. But, you know, we kind of undertake and resolve debt owed by municipalities to water boards with national treasury, and I'm happy that we've also put dates, but you know the dates that I've put have changed in slightly to kind of fit in. It's not the same one in your hard copy, Chairperson, or other members. And as I was focusing with Cindy, we've really decided that we would amend some of these key dates. But we could resolve that, Chair, because we have a national conference coming in April, from the 22nd to the 26th of April. That's the highest decision-making board of SAUDA. So we could, in essence, you know, put something together to say, let conference resolve that, you know, these debts are acknowledged, and then maybe, you know, recommend a process at the conference level to really deal with this particular issue. Obviously, we're not going to be dealing only debt owed to water boards. I mean, we'll look at the whole picture in terms of how do we really deal with debt owed to municipalities as well, primarily, you know, your provincial and local government. I'm sure you do budget for services. We could also facilitate, Madam Chair, the signing of bulk agreements. I mean, the legal platform is in place, and we could really facilitate that particular process by June 2007. And Chairperson, the issue of rationalization of the tariffs becomes critical, but we're suggesting, or we are suggesting, that by at least March next year, that, you know, with the expertise we have in the water sector, that we should come up with an approach to look in terms of how these methodologies could be rationalized and finalized. We also want to suggest that the issue of finalizing regulations, Bobby, that at least by June this year, that some indication is given in terms of how we want to regulate the sector from an economic point of view, Chairperson, in terms of the whole supply chain. And lastly, Chair, as I said, that we have initiated a study on ring fencing, and we
eagerly awaiting the outputs of that particular study to be able to inform us precisely what is the cost of water at the municipal level. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Solda. Quick interaction with them. Simple. Thanks, Chair. I'm quite intrigued by this idea of water being severely underpriced or something like that. And my concern is, well, yes, perhaps it is in order to keep the entity viable, which I think is your reasoning for paying it. But considering the amount of debt that municipalities owe at the moment, if you increase the price of water, how on earth are they going to pay then?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to say that I know we're going to ask a question, I want to make it a statement really. And just remind us that municipalities in the previous government are seen as the implementation arm. Municipalities are seen as the implementation arm of government. They're closest to the people. Councillors serve in wards and directly deal with people. So, whatever decisions are probably going to be taken at the Congress, nobody can tell you what decisions and what resolutions you must pass. But I think it should be borne in mind that whatever happens is that the water board plays a very important part in the delivery on the ground where you work. So if it is, I mean, it's there's still a problem in more than one water board. A problem that leads to any particular water board a problem with financial viability is more often than not, mostly actually, the non-payment of outstanding debt by municipalities. Now, if that problem isn't resolved, it could have a serious negative impact on the end user, the person who is supposed to receive his or her 6 kiloliters free. So, I just wanted to, whatever deliberations take place, I mean, whatever happens, I want to charge you to stay in mind that this is a very serious matter. And we're seriously concerned about, you know, because last year and the year before and this year, the question of outstanding debt, running in millions, over 800, altogether, over 800 million, right? Now, that affects, in many cases, water boards are asked to also deal with question of reticulation, which is civilian municipality job, because the capacity problems that many municipalities have, water boards are asked to fill that gap. So, if that question isn't dealt with, it has a serious negative impact on the people that currently receive water. It will have a negative impact on the people that receive water intermittently. And it will have serious impact on people that currently doesn't receive it. They still go to the rivers. Because in many cases, you have a municipality rolling up infrastructure, and there's no water pipe, no water comes to its end. Because the municipality can pay the debt, and turn the water forthcoming. If the water board doesn't receive the money, they can't do the necessary. They can't build the necessary purification stations, purify water and get it into the pipe. So somebody has to accept responsibility for that. The water board can only change to a boat, but if the boat isn't on it, what do they do? So I just wanted to say that this thing must really be taken seriously. And in the discussions at the Congress, I hope that the resolution that the member spoke about from SAGA will become a reality and it will be taken to heart, and that SAGA indeed
apart from maybe passing such a resolution, will look at methods of enforcing, implementing the resolution coming from South to resolve this question. Of course, it affects some people directly. That's a problem. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask a simple question. How are prices determined, especially in rural areas? And if the rural people are not able to pay, who is supposed to foot the bill?
I think to conclude the questions if they are none at this stage, they need to say the following. Well, of course, as I said yesterday and today, the Deputy Minister of Sport, Finance, Management, Assets, that guides us in how we need to deal with many of these issues. But can FOCA tell us how many cases have there been where the Act was used to deal with this problem? In yesterday and I think today also, quite a number of the members raised the issue of equitable share. And they were of the view that, look, the municipalities get some money, if it goes into something, then also it's not being diverted into what they're expecting everyone else to do. So when it comes to the payment thing, then there are these other issues that they raise. But there are no other dedications. So I think if you can shed some light, also some of the views that were expressed yesterday was, why don't you just get the equitable shares, go straight to the board, and you overcome the problem like that. And the councillor agrees with me, shaking very much. I'm glad there's some political buy-in on this matter. Can I be clarified the issue that you raised on slide 30? We need to implement stringent credit control policy that provides for the inclusion and is enforced without political interference. What political interference are you referring to? Because everything is guided by legislation. Legislation is policy. So just to clarify that one there for us. And then if you can, you know, of course we've got to have a longer discussion and maybe the portfolio committee must also do some thinking in this regard on how we deal with this issue of pricing, tariffs, all of that. But of course when we're going to deal with the tariffs that were referred to the committee this year again, I'm not sure if we should use that occasion to have a longer discussion other than what you are submitting to us. But I think the committee will obviously apply its mind in how do we engage ourselves on this one. What says there's something, you know, something coming there, doing all of these things. But of course we've heard that they in the annual report, it's in the strategic plan, that one of the things that they're going to do. To date, they've told nothing. And I think that we're extremely worried that we are continuing in the country with uncertainty around something. And of course, it's not good to have uncertainty. Uncertainty creates a range of different things. And then if you look at the entire supply chain, there are all these differences between all of you. From the beginning to the end, there's everyone having their own place. So I think we will apply our minds and then say how we will engage as a portfolio committee in this aspect to bring some finality. Let's look at the case studies of electricity and what they've done. Is it going to, will it assist the process? Is it something that we can learn from? Must it be duplicated? But let's look at something. Because we think it's unsustainable to have all sorts of differences right around the country. And then, well, of course, we accept that, you know, things are different around the country, but we think it's quite unworkable at the moment. You know, the thing that bothers us quite a bit, when people don't say, in the letters, the ink and all of these colors, the people receive these things. And then they are being told that unless they do the following and so on. And in some instances, people, services are being withheld from them. Now, I can't talk about other municipalities. I can only talk about the municipality that I'm in, that last year, this year, decided not to let people have water. And so you had from Mitchell's Plain to Bonsi Oval and wherever, people just didn't get water. Now, it's one thing to say in here that, you know, the Constitution obligates, and it's another thing where officials and whoever, officials, the mayor, a whole lot of people, can just decide if the people don't pay or don't have money, they can cut their water. Now, if that can be done to people, I'm not asking that the water board must cut their services. I'm not going to advocate anything like that. But, you know, when it comes to poor people, quickly there can be these remedies, but when it's somewhere else, it cannot be applied. And I think Sheldon must tell us why are these differences. Because in the municipality that I'm in, even on the statement that you get, it tells you you will cut your water. Now, quite frankly, how is it possible that you can allow something like that that contradicts the Act, that contradicts the Constitution? And of course, that's what the argument is. You know? I personally doubt that the people that told you, why don't you tell the people to pay? To pay. Very arrogant. There's many people, you think they're harmful. Not with that. That was, yeah. Told me. Now, you know, we're all quiet about it. The city of Cape Town is allowed to cut people's water and all of it. No, nothing can be done. Quiet about it. The point I'm trying to make is there's a mechanism that has been used when it comes to poor people, but I think when it comes to others, then there are these differences. So I think it will help if you assist us in that regard. And I am saying I think we must agree with one another that we have a proper discussion, we package a proper discussion around this issue. We bring many of you to the table, you put together your documents and so on, and you deal with the issue in the way that it does, because it's probably not right that every time when we have public hearings, we have submissions, annual reports, strategic plans, then this issue comes up, and then we say many things to each other. I think we must, you can interact with the committee, we will interact with yourselves, all of you, to set time aside in this year to engage in this issue. Let's ask the people to come and say something, whether it is a public hearing or whatever. But I think we must deal with the issue, and we must see how do we you know, bring some stability at least in this area, because I think it will help. But nevertheless, let me give you time to quickly respond to it.
Yeah, Chairperson, these are kind of difficult questions, but let's really attempt to see whether we could help the committee to come up with a way forward. Look, the prices or the issue of how prices are determined, you know, each municipality uses a certain approach in terms of determination of prices. And then similarly with water boards, I mean, they use, you know, certain approaches to determine prices. But at this present moment, and I haven't done a study in terms of how municipalities determine prices, there are guidelines in terms of the tariffs in terms of the Water Services Act. But primarily, at this present moment, the key determination in terms of pricing is the cost that the municipality incurs in terms of the provision of services. I mean, because it starts from the raw water and it comes to the bulk, and by the time it comes to retail, they will say, look, we can only afford a certain percentage, and therefore we'll then pass this percentage to to consumers. But further than that, Treasury has actually said to municipalities that, you know, municipal services increments needs to be between 3% and 6%. You know, so for us it means irrespective of your, that's how we interpret it. It might be a wrong interpretation, but irrespective in terms of the cost that you incur, you need to be within those limits. And maybe Cindy could actually talk to them. So there are various means and ways in terms of how municipalities determine the prices. Hence, we want to call upon that the players in the sector to really make sure that there is a clear understanding in terms of how we do pricing. Because pricing is not easy. You really need, you know, clever people. You really need economists to come and tell you precisely, you know, how to really price this particular commodity, given the demographics situation within our country. Madam Chair, I'm not sure from which municipality which municipality is really cutting the water. Which one? Cape Town. No, I think I'll leave it to the politicians to answer that. If I may, Chair, and on a very serious note, I cannot really pronounce on that one. Maybe, well, I mean, Councillor, I cannot pronounce. Chair, I'm not sure whether we could defer that particular one for further consultation, because I might be saying things that might put my job on the line. So if you could allow me to really defer that particular one. Chair, we are faced with a situation where in this country at this present moment our delivery of water services is very fragmented. You know, hence the institutional reform process. And we really want to speed up that process, because if one looks at a country such as the Netherlands, and I'm talking from a principal point of view, that they've really upscaled. I mean, they used to have something like 12 water companies, and now they have 5. They're thinking even of upscaling to 3. What is stopping us from doing it in this particular country, from a principal point of view? Can we really upscale from, you know, I don't know, whether even municipalities we might have to upscale, I'm not too sure. Whether we upscale from 176 water service authorities, maybe to about 50, or maybe we upscale 17 or 15 water boards to about 5, whether we upscale catchment management agencies from 19 to 4. Those are some of the debates we're going to have to really enter into, Chairperson. And I want to give it a rest and give it to Cindy to answer the finances question. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. The issue around local government subsidy allocation not being used for what it's supposed to be doing, I think, Chairperson, the challenge here is that, and this was also raised at the Select Committee of Finance, I think the challenge here, Chairperson, is that most of our municipalities, they don't even understand the formula. Because if you look at the formula, certain amounts go to a certain, go to a certain portion, or go to a certain component of a formula. So what I'm saying is that you are not understanding is that you find that sometimes money are diverted. That was not supposed to be doing. So I'm saying that the challenge is that we need maybe to also assist municipalities to make sure that they understand this formula and how it works. Because we find that if you look at the formula, there is, for example, institutional components, which is with the institutional capacity and also issues around councillors' remuneration or the good support. So those are some of the things that we need to look at. But however, there is an issue around that, to say that the local government subsidy is an unconditional grant, hence the municipality can do whatever they want to do with that particular money. So those are some of the issues. On the issue regarding political interference, the context is that mainly towards the elections, you find that it's very difficult for administration to implement precautions to cut water. Because we know that for, you know, during that particular period, they are campaigning. So how you campaign for me to vote for you, whereas you cut my water? So that one is a very dicey situation. Regarding the regarding the cutting of water with reference to Cape Town, I know that in Gauteng there is a certain municipality that they cut the water in a certain school, and after cutting the water, the Department of Education paid them. So I think that most of the municipalities are beginning to use this as a form of credit control to make sure that what is owed to them, they are able to collect. So I think maybe in the near future, we are going to see most of the municipalities cutting water in mainly government departments. I think I'll stop here, thanks.
Idea that we actually stop there so that we give us an opportunity to speak, because I think we're ending on a very sour note. And let's not go up to that path. I think it would be good to say that as Salda, you would advise people that this is what the Constitution says. That doesn't mean that the committee says we don't want people to pay. No, we're not supporting that. People must pay and so on. But of course there are some obligations that need to be there. And I think the only point we're making is it will be good for SALTA to do a sample of what are the prevailing conditions out there that municipalities are applying. Because the point I'm making is when it comes to the people, then they have solutions. Between the water board and the municipality, then they aren't solutions. I think that's the point that I wanted to make. And I illustrated that by saying, why don't you just take a bowl of the city of Cape Town and I'll give you my bowl. It says on there, we'll cut your water. And the truth is, how can Salda allow such an incursion on a bowl? That's the only point that I'm making. So I think it will help if we approach it like that and do a sample of all the municipalities, that all are implementing all sorts of different, when it comes to the end user, the real people that bears the effect, they do apply all sorts of different standards. So I think that's the point you're making for them. As long as you end on a positive note.
I really want to end on a positive note, particularly the input made by Honourable Member Aronson, to really look at means and ways in terms of how we craft a position paper towards the debt at the national conference. Obviously, we're not really making any undertakings at the present moment. We'll go back to our principles to say, look, we have suggested, I mean, I think it's for municipal finance, we have suggested that there is this particular banning issue at this level, and that we need to really deal with it as a matter of urgency. And it's obviously a sensitive issue, so we do appreciate the input made by Honourable Member. Thank you, Chair.
Department of Water, Affairs and Forestry.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Honourable Members, colleagues, there's been a number of things that have been raised over the past 2 days. And I'm certainly not going to try to respond to everything that has been raised, but I think let me begin by saying that it's an extremely useful process. I'm sure it's useful for the water boards in terms of the kind of questions that are raised. It's certainly useful for the department in terms of the kind of questions that are raised and the issues that come up, and it certainly contributes to our improved governance or our improved oversight of water boards by the department. I'd like to try to just separate out, I think, the two aspects that have come out to me in the discussion. The one is the performance of the department in terms of its oversight of water boards. The other is actually around the performance of the water boards themselves, and I think it's useful to see the two separately in some sense. And I think there has been improvement in the performance of the department. Certainly, I think the department has become more structured in its approach to oversight of water boards, trying to look ahead and be more proactive, less reactive to issues, putting in place processes to actually check in advance that things are happening the right way in water boards, for example, around the tariff issue, around the appointment of boards, so that we're keeping one step ahead of the game and not one step behind the game. Taking action on non-compliance with the Municipal Finance Management Act, working with the water boards around the debt issue. So I think there are things that are happening in that regard. And that's not to say that there aren't improvements in the way that RAPIS is executing its oversight of water boards. And I think one of the things that we have recognized, and certainly the Minister has stressed, is that we actually need to build the capacity internally in the department to do better oversight of the water boards and then of the CMAs and the agency when they come on board, because the oversight challenge is only going to grow over the next 5 to 10 years. And then we actually look at how we are structured in the department, the role of the national office and the regional offices, and how we actually build the capacity and in fact bring in new capacity to do this function in a more structured way, and ultimately so that we can in fact exercise our regulatory function in a stronger way. And it's our regulation of water boards, but also ultimately, and it comes to William's presentation, some of the regulation over local government as well around tariffs, for example, and that we need better capacity in the department to do that. I think if one looks at the water board picture, it's been very interesting looking at the presentations. I think they, once again, there has been improvement overall in the performance of the water boards, although that's again not to say that there aren't significant challenges that have been faced by the water boards. I think if one looks at that as like getting the tariffs in on time, the fact that financial viability is good in most of the water boards, not all of them by any means, but most of them. The alignment with the imperatives of government and the contribution towards meeting the water services target, the assistance that's given to municipalities, the kind of stuff that is happening around the expansion and maintenance of infrastructure, capacity building and training, there's a lot of very good stuff that's actually happening in water boards. But there are still key challenges. Obviously, Ekangala is one of our key challenges, and the point is well taken around the non-communication of the issue around disestablishment. And I'm going to take responsibility that we have to not communicate that formally. I know it has been communicated informally that the process is underway. There is also a study underway in terms of Bushbuck Ridge to look at how we deal with Bushbuck Ridge and how we're going to resolve the viability issue of that. I think the Pele is stabilising after a period of turmoil. There are challenges in Mfetuzi, particularly in relation to the issue between the chief executive and the board. In the MAPO, we have in fact requested that we put in place a process with provincial government to look at the whole issue of how water services are provided in the area if and when the mines close down, not only around the water board, but in a bigger sense, saying there is going to be massive economic issues in the area, and what does that mean for water services and sanitation in the area in due course. Yes, the issue of reporting is still a challenge. We have taken it up in the sense that the Minister has written to the defaulting water boards, not only about the reporting, but about the ones that haven't submitted their business plans and their annual reports and don't have CEs in place. We now need to follow up, because not everything has fallen into place neatly after those letters. We now actually need to follow up on it. And look in the sense of how we then get tougher as a regulator in terms of water boards that aren't compliant. I just wanted to raise the issue of the question of viability of entities and what we actually understand by an entity being viable. Because in a number of the areas we were looking at water boards, the provision of water services is never going to be viable simply as a revenue-based function. A lot of the water boards actually provide services in fairly impoverished rural areas, and whether it is done by a water board or a water services is not going to be a going concern in terms of a simple business function. And that's where the issues around the appropriate use of the equitable share, whether the equitable share is sufficient, whether the current, as William raised, whether the current formula is appropriate, how we can support or assist municipalities around or water boards, around better revenue generation where it is possible. All those come together into a picture of what makes something viable. So the question of whether there are subsidies, I think the challenge is there are some, whether it's water boards or water services authorities, that will always require subsidy. The question is whether it is transparent and understood what that subsidy is and where it comes from and what it's being used for. I think it goes to William's point as well around the whole issue of local government, water service authorities and the tariffs they're setting, because I think the challenge is possibly bigger than William and his team outlined, because I'm not 100% convinced that municipalities actually understand what their costs are and therefore are able to set tariffs appropriately. And I think there's a great deal of work that needs to be done in terms of understanding what this water services business actually costs and how tariffs are calculated, and in order to actually understand what's underpriced and what's overpriced. And I think that William's suggestions around the ring fencing and those processes will contribute to that. in all the city. Before I get onto some of the specific issues, I also think that it would be useful in this process if we could possibly get clarity from the portfolio committee in terms of the years that are coming. How many stations a year did the portfolio committee envisage with water boards, and around what particular issues? Because there's the tariff issues, there's the business plans, there's the financial statement and annual reports. Is it going to be three sessions every year? Perhaps we can schedule them and plan in advance the kind of format of what is reported on, because there's clearly still not consistency and understanding exactly what comes into each session. There was also a question raised by one of the water boards with me that they also get some of the other committees, and whether there's a possibility of aligning and having one a joint sitting rather than the same thing at different areas. There are a number of issues that we need to take up on as the department arising from the session. I've mentioned the issue of non-compliance. We have taken some action on, but we need to move on further. We have said that we will send through within 2 weeks the latest water board strategic plans and our analysis of their business plans, and then we will put in place a process to ensure that this is an annual event and doesn't require the committee to remind us on an annual basis. We will also provide a written report to the portfolio committee on the institutional reform process, which will include timeframes of what is going to happen and where. In terms of the corporate social investment issue and the advertising by water boards, that is something that we need to unpack and look at and try and set some guidelines as to what is appropriate for water boards to invest in that regard and what is not. Chairperson, there were a number of issues that came out of previous sessions. I hope that in terms of yesterday's presentation and this morning's presentation, we answered most of them. There were issues, for example, around whether we should have a water board that is providing for essentially one municipality. I think that issue has been dealt with. There were a number of other issues, such as meetings with to solve the Pella, the Palaborwa issue, Makali's accounting approach. There was an issue raised around the need to establish norms and standards and ensure compliance to water quality and drinking water standards. There are, in fact, norms and standards for drinking water quality. We have, as a department, rolled out a drinking water quality and compliance program with local government. It's much more of a challenge for local government level than it is, in fact, in relation to the water boards. And a great deal of effort has gone into developing a monitoring and reporting system and trying to ensure that the water service authorities actually report monthly. It's by no means 100% reporting. It's quite a bit lower than that, but certainly it is improving. And it's enabling us to identify where there are possible problems and then actually intervene, bring it to the attention of the water service authority, the province if it's needed, and actually interact on that. I think we've dealt with the issue of lack of compliance with the Public Finance Management Act, the alignment of business plans with strategic objectives of government. Chair, there were a number of specific issues. We have provided a written report to the committee on those particular questions, and I'm not sure if I should go into all the details at this stage. In terms of the tariff methodologies, I think William raises very valid points around the tariff methodology. GRAS itself has been doing considerable work around the GRAS tariff to actually get consistent approaches across all our regional offices in terms of how the tariffs are calculated for raw water. But that now needs to be expanded down the value chain, and particularly down to local government. And we would be very willing to work with SELDA on the issues of tariffs and debts and look at the processes and the timeframes that William set out. The chairperson, the issue of tough luck and come clean. This is our attempt to actually make communication more accessible. No. I really hope that the official communication didn't actually say that. But just to say, in terms of the issue of interest rates, GRAS is obliged to charge the interest rate that has been set by our minister in consultation with the Minister of Finance. And in fact, it's been some time since that interest rate has been adjusted. And we have realized that recently, and it will be revised. It was last adjusted some time ago, and that's why I think that actually sitting at a significantly higher rate. Chairperson, I think that brings me to the end. If I can merely take this opportunity to say that I think this is probably the last time that I'm likely to address this committee, since I leave the department next Friday. It's been extremely interesting process. There's been some robust discussions over the 10 years that I've been, nearly 10 years that I've been in the department. It's certainly been a learning experience for me. I hope that it's been a process in which I've been able to contribute to the work of the committee. I certainly know that the committee's questions have contributed to the nature of the work and the volume of the work that we have had to do in the department. So I leave at the end of the month. It doesn't affect my commitment to the water sector. I will still be working in the water sector, and I will still be exercising my commitment to the aims of government in the work that I will be doing in the water sector. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Schreiner. I am not going to have a very lengthy conclusion. Just to quickly say that let me start off by really thanking everyone that came here yesterday, today, and those that came both days. Thank you very much. I think quite a bit of work has gone into making yesterday and today a success. Thank you very much to the Water Board who, as always, doesn't matter whether there's a qualified audit or not, they comply, they come here, TCGA, or all of you. And thank you very much for, you know, making the effort of presenting the report in the way that you do. Of course, we will continue to discuss with each other how to improve on the reporting, the format, and all of that. And I think it would be good if you remind us also to engage with yourselves on that one. We've been doing that with DWARFs with a lot of success. And last year, DWARFs annual report, I think we mustn't, let me say it this time, we mustn't just always look at the qualified audit. Look at the other side also, and indeed, there has been quite a big improvement. The qualified audit always takes away, you know, all the other good stuff. So it has been useful, and this time DWARF will be coming with a strategic plan, and I think this time around it will be the, I think, first strategic plan in the engagement that we've been having with the department, so of course we're looking forward also. So to all the water boards, we think it will be useful that we engage with each other in the same way that DWARF has allowed us outside of this meeting to engage on that matter. Well, of course, this time around, I think we must congratulate everyone that came, the last one. All the boards didn't come. And then we had to inform the minister and ask her to do a couple of things and so on. This time around, honorable members, we didn't have any of those problems. We don't need to resort to you know, anything that the rules of parliament say. Well, in saying anything about all the boards is obviously going to be very difficult, but so to save some time, I'm not going to take you through all of it, but maybe provide the committee with a summary that can help us for a discussion next week when we do some more deliberations on what has happened today. Well, obviously, yesterday and today, it's not possible for us to do it tonight. Well, of course, if the members insist they want to do it tonight, then of course, the chair will comply if you want to do that. But let me do that and provide as a basis for a discussion to the members for us next week when we discuss that. But I think, honorable members, there have been very interesting things that have come up with this two-day session. And I think very different from last year, if we look at the issues that were placed in front of us, and again, you know, let's not talk about Ikangala and Pushpak Reef and so on, because those are not the only things that have happened in these submissions. If we look at the totality of what we've been able to achieve in allowing the water boards to come and make their submissions, I think it's important to say, how do we take this process forward and what have been the issues? And there are lots of complex issues, I must say. Some of them are complex for the committee also. It's not that we have all the answers. You know, we just find the act and we see comfort in there and we hold on to that. But when it comes to policy issues, they are complex. And I think that's where we need everyone. That's where we are all one. When it comes to the policy issues and how do we, you know, find solutions. And our view is that we are at a point in the water and forestry sector where we need to have much more debate on the policy stuff. Things have changed in South Africa. 13 years into a new democracy, life has changed out there. The economy has changed out there. The issues that we deal with have changed. Our cities have changed. Our population has changed. Everyone is talking about 2010. All of those things have changed. And the truth is, how has the water board and the department been able to respond to these changes? Because they are there. The institutions are there. Have the institutions been able to respond to these changes? And to what extent are the changes that they have made themselves? Or are we just, you know, we are water board and we carry on, and there's going to be an annual report, and there we go. So I think that we obviously will have to debate. We can't always debate these things when it's time to do submissions and see whether you've complied with the PSMA and whether your reports are okay. But I think we want to say we obviously have got to find some time to engage in these issues. They were interesting issues, and they really straddle from, there's been long discussions, and we've heard the response that Salga gave. Thank you very much, Salga. I think it's been helpful that you have applied your mind to put something together for us, because it enables the portfolio committee to debate these things further, and as we conclude the report also, what are the kind of things that we need to put in there. And indeed, I think we will have to resolve that we've got to do much more around the issue of debt and so on. And how do we do it? There is the law, but beyond the law, what is it that is required? There's the ongoing issue of Section 78. When I just became the chair of the committee, Section 78, you know, who did oversight on the West Coast, everyone we visited said, Section 78 is going to have to be like, I'm still on the learning curve. Yeah, I don't understand. What is it that they're applying and not applying? I soon discovered I'd better go on a hunt to find out what the Section 78 is all about. But again, there are big challenges in this area around Section 78 and, of course, the contradictions that go with it. Dwarf, yes, of course. Now, before dwarf, I think we will probably say the same thing. We are worried about this loan stuff. You know, there's this loan issue and beyond the loans. The DDSA came here last year with Dwarf annual report and they revealed very interesting stuff to the committee about the loans and how people come and make loans and maybe some instances work the right thing and so on. And of course, you know, the DDSA, who they are and so on. And we have seen yesterday and today that quite a number of you are involved. Is it something that you can avoid? We don't know. You'll have to confine that. You'll have to research. We'll have to see if it's possible that you can live without it. If you ask us personally, that many members of Parliament can't live without loans and stuff like that. So, of course, for a water board, it will be absolutely a different situation. But again, let's discuss it and let's see if it's a viable thing to do. Maybe the conclusion would be that it is. The second last one is the issue of the strategic plans. Honourable members, can I announce to you that here they are? At least we can conclude with not putting in our recommendations, and therefore the work will have to send to the committee with the many out of yesterday and today to get something out of somebody, we will not say who. And here we have something at least that we can work on. So well done to whoever it is. We've managed to get something. But of course, we take into consideration the kind of what we have said. And I think it is something that will help the committee. We don't need to inform you all the time. It should be automatic, many of these things. And then, dwarf, yes, of course. The oversight role that DWARF plays over the water board remains something that needs to be worked on much more. In some instances, we're happy that DWARF could report to us this time that these are the boards that they've engaged with, these are the things that they've done, these are the complex issues, what do we need to do with these complex issues? But we do think that we should maybe internally, when DWARF brings their strategic plan, we should try and find out in the strategic plan DWARF's own capacity internally, how they take it for that, and how they are going to seek to overcome that, because it's not five boards that they have around the country. And so for Dwarf, they have two officials, I'm not sure how many they have, I'm just making an example. So for Dwarf, they have two officials to oversee all the many boards, about 15, 16 of them. It's just not going to work at all. You are going to have somebody whose board has never been renewed, the CEO who's gone missing, and Ikangala all the time, and those things are going to. But the truth is, how do we make sure that that is not there? So I think, again, we will have to debate with Dwarf further on how Dwarf will also strengthen their own capacity in that regard. So as I said, that yes, of course, there's the issue. I think I have spoken about the loans. The tariff issue was spoken quite a bit, and I think we have said there's a number of other things that needs to be done in that regard. On the institutional reform, I think I'm worried that a number of the boards spoke about it in a very, for lack of a better word, fearful way. And I think we've got to do something about the uncertainty that this entire thing is creating, because when, of course, change is not easy for everyone. Change does bring its own anxieties and so on. But how do we ensure that, the presentation, the sort of presentation that we made, just boggled everyone's mind and got more people fearful of the things that he said, and well, particularly that he ended off by saying they can't find the DG and so on. I hope we found the DG then. But we think that, obviously, not only with caution, the department must proceed, but the department must proceed with an inclusive way. Because if we want to bring about change, if we want to reform, if we want to change institutions, it's better to have everyone on board. It's better to have everyone inside the tent. I won't say what they must do out of the tent, and have them outside, and I won't say what they must do into the tent. It's better to do that way, because I think if we decide to plan something out there and then think we can come out and say, look, here it is, and so on, that thing is not going to work. It must be a part of the paper process. And I think, yes, of course, we're looking forward to hear and see. We heard that the legislation is coming to Parliament this year around the agency, and we look forward that some engagement can happen in that regard. But really, we want to say to you, do take note of the sentiments that the board has expressed yesterday and today around that, because it is creating unnecessary uncertainty. Honourable members, in thanking all of you and everyone else that has come, it is also not my pleasure to say goodbye to Mr. Schreiner. And yes, of course, I think for some of us that have been in the committee for this while, we've enjoyed the engagement. Some of them were up, some of them were good, others were okay. But yes, of course, I think we could say that when we require certain things, so that the committee were able to engage. And I think we want to thank you for always availing yourself to come to the committee. Although you always ask me, Chair, what time does it end, and my flight needs to be changed to us. Thank you that you availed yourself and always reminding me, Chair, must I speak over, what about my child? Thank you for all of that also. You took all of that into consideration. It has indeed been a pleasure to work with somebody that, of course, has got such a great knowledge of the sector, and indeed, I think, the passion also of the sector. We trust the work that you are going to do, where you are going to, will ensure that we eradicate the bucket system this year, that we eradicate sanitation as a whole in 2010, that we meet our targets to give water to everyone in 2008 or something, and make sure that the clinics and schools, all of them, that have got these challenges, we trust that your contribution will go in that direction. We'd like to know whether we can still call you for something 3 years before this committee. Wherever you're going, it might be somebody that you can ask to come before the committee, because then at least you can still have the benefit of that engagement. Honourable members? the board, the visitors, everyone else. Raja, thank you. Olivia, I can feel very tired having to run up and down, make copies for those that didn't make copies, and so on. Thank you very much, Shireen. Thank you very much. You have facilitated the committee extremely. To the members, I must say thank you very much. You've made the work go down very well with your engagement. I've received many great compliments from people here on how you engage and the questions that you've asked and the work that you have put in preparing to engage the board. There are a couple of the boards that look groot geskrik in all the scripts that you have tried. And it will make you say, keep it up like that. On that note, everyone, thank you very much. I think we will see a number of you, not tomorrow, the day after.